This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you with the able assistance of Pride March Victoria President Brett Hayhoe. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had a very special guest on the program, a young lady called Tiffany Jones. She's done a PhD study into homophobic bullying and the positive impact of anti-bullying policies in schools. It so impressed some people when she gave a presentation in Canberra that UNESCO invited her to go and to Rio and make a presentation to them, but she couldn't raise the fare, so she asked you for help here on this program. Well, she's back with us today to tell us what happened next. Hello, Tiffany. How are you?
Hello, Doug. I'm good. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm well. Now, I understand you actually had a lot of response to your last visit to this program.
I did. I got so many emails and we got contacted through La Trobe, so it was really wonderful. A lot of positive feedback from your listeners.
And you actually managed to raise enough money to get yourself a ticket to Rio.
Yes, we did. And I'm so thankful and I'm so excited. The listeners were really supportive. And on the back of that, UNESCO also was impressed with all the fundraising and they've kicked in some more money. So actually, the airfares, the accommodation, everything's booked and covered. I just can't believe it.
And when do you go, Tiffany?
So I leave on the 4th of December, and it's for a full week that I'll be there, and we'll be meeting every day that I'm there. So it's going to be wonderful.
Now, what is this conference that you're actually speaking to?
Okay, so it will be the members of UNESCO and representatives. They have in UNESCO, there's over 192 countries represented, so there'll be representation from many of those countries, from governments, from the education sector, and from advocacy organisations for gay and lesbian rights and transgender rights and people like that. So a lot of the hotels are booked out in Rio. It's going to be quite a few people there.
Now, is UNESCO looking to take some kind of policy position on the issue of homophobic bullying? Is that why they need to hear what you've discovered?
Yeah, that's what it looks to be. I've had a bit more sort of back and forth information since we last spoke. And they've collected some of my data and policies, examples from some other countries. There's not many countries with policy in this area, mind you. I mean, Australia has some. There's a few states in America that have some policies and part of the UK. There's a few places, but they're collecting some data on that and they're looking for best practice examples. And I think we're going to talk about what policy works, what doesn't. And hopefully they'll come forward with a policy position at the end of that.
Now, your discovery was that it wasn't just gay, GLBTIQ, however many letters we want. Sydney Mardi Gras doesn't want any of them, but anyway, we'll touch that topic another time. Schools that do have policies that deal with bullying, particularly homophobic bullying, are actually safer for all students, not just GLBTIQ students.
Yes, that's right. And it was also there was also an association in my research that if they gave anti-homophobia messages and if they had policies in that area, it also tended to correlate with more information on not just gay relationships but heterosexual sex and heterosexual safe sex. So it tends to be a sign that the schools are actually taking responsibility in the area of sexuality in general. So, you know, good sexuality education for GLBTIQ students is also good for everybody.
Tiffany, you mentioned that some areas in Australia had such policies in place. Are these state-based and which ones do you know?
Okay, so just to give you a little rundown, at the federal level, there's a policy from the Ministerial Council for Education that schools should give special school provision in its first national goal for Australian schools. They should be giving equitable provision for students regardless of their sexual orientation, amongst other traits. So that's at the highest level in Australia. And then we've also got distinct policies solely on the topic of protection against homophobic bullying and support for LGBTIQ students in the states of New South Wales and Victoria. Mm-hmm. So those two states are the only two states with distinct policies, as in a physical policy document just on that issue.
Yeah.
And then we've got some, I guess you'd call it indirect policy in some of the other states. So, for example, in Queensland, they have what's called an inclusion policy. But the problem with that, Doug, is it doesn't specifically mention gay kids.
No, and that's a problem with a lot of these things, isn't it? You get this kind of attitude that, well, we have a broad anti-discrimination policy, it covers everybody, yeah. Therefore you're included in that, which is a bit like the old saying that used to be, you know, what was it used to say on official documents, wherever this document refers to a man, it means women as well.
Mm.
It's the same kind of thing. It makes you invisible, doesn't it?
It does, and the issue with that is, so they'll think, oh, you know, if we have this inclusion policy, teachers will know that they have to be inclusive of students, and students will know that, but they don't, because the insidious effect of homophobia is that they specifically don't think of those students as being worthy of inclusion or being needed to be recognised, and it's something you have to really combat out in the open and say, yes, we support these kids as well as kids of various races, as well as females, as well as, you know, you have to actually bring it out in the open and say that your school supports that kind of group as well.
Yeah, and a lot of schools always take the attitude that, well, you know, it doesn't apply to us, we don't have any gay kids.
Yes. That's a kind of funny experience, because I've been in rooms where people have said, no, there's no one gay here, and you're sort of sitting there going...
And you're sitting there going, I'm here.
Yes. It's so like, we may not all be what you expect us to look like, how you expect us to speak. Anybody could have a same-sex attraction. Anyone could have a diverse gender history, and you might not be aware of that. You can't look at your classroom of 30 kids and be able to pick, you know, the two or so who are probably gay. It doesn't work that way.
It's a bit like all these shop assistants where you go in and you say, I want to buy X, and they say, well, there's no call for it, and you turn around and say, but I'm calling for it.
Yes, you know, calling for it.
Excuse me, and do I don't exist or something?
It's really important for the schools to realise it's not something that's physically visible, but it's going on in their school.
And the other line I've heard a lot of is... that, well, of course, we'd be very inclusive and supportive if and when a gay student came out to us. Failing to realise, of course, that they have to actually create the conditions where somebody would be willing to come out in the first place or feel safe out in the first place.
That's right. It really has to be supportive. There has to be those sorts of posters saying it's safe for you to be here. And we've got an anti-discrimination contact officer. Here's their number. That sort of thing has to be in place before you're going to get kids coming up and letting them know about anything.
Tiffany, does your research also spread into areas such as youth suicide?
Yes, it does. And I found some distinct correlations, which were highly significant, which basically pointed out in the schools that there was no policy in place protecting these students, and where the students were aware of that, over 47% had actually... thought about committing suicide, which was really quite shocking.
It is. Tiffany, I'm sorry to break in on you here, but we are going to have to leave it there. We have our next guest already on the line.
Okay, that's fine. Well, thank you so much for your support, Doug.
You're more than welcome. Let us know how it went in Rio when you get back.
I will. That'll be great. Thank you, everyone. I've really appreciated your support and all your emails. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tiffany, and thanks for all your work. Now, big groans greeted Julia Gillard's somewhat hypocritical announcement about her strong feelings for a traditional marriage that somehow aren't strong enough for her to respect it by marrying herself, but are strong enough to stand in the way of our marrying. So to avoid a Labour split, she's going to allow a conscience vote. Is that it? Is that the end of the road? ACT Deputy Chief Minister Andrew Barr of Rainbow Labour doesn't think so, and he's up next.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.